Genesis 22 on Through the Word, as we come to one of the most difficult and one of the most important stories in the Old Testament. This one will stop you and challenge your concept of love, sacrifice, and of the heart of God. We find Abraham in a good place in life. He has a son, his wife is laughing, and he made peace with his neighbors. Life is good. God is good. Chapter 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Say what? It sounded like God just asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, as in kill. So much for life is good, and what about God is good? If you don't know this story, I encourage you to see it through to the end. If you do know how it ends, remember that Abraham doesn't. All he knows is that God is good, God is faithful, and God just asked him to do something that doesn't make any sense, because murder is wrong. And just to clarify, if ever a moment comes when you think maybe God is telling you to murder, he is not. Obey God's law. Do not murder. Stick to that. And most of you, I hope, would say, yes, of course, murder is very wrong. Don't do it. So what's with this story? That instinct is right. And I believe God expects this story to be jarring. I'm sure it was for Abraham. So let's walk through it with him and trust God for the message here. Trust God is exactly what Abraham did. Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. So Abraham heads out. Gotta wonder what's going through old Abe's mind along the road here. He heard a clear word from God. No foggy wonderings, this was the voice of God. And Abraham knows God's voice. God is good. He's been faithful to keep his word for decades. God made a covenant with Abraham, and Abe trusted. And at the very heart of that covenant is a promise of descendants. And God came through. And he said, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." So now what? How does he get descendants through Isaac if Isaac dies without kids? I'm sure Abraham asked that question as he looked over at Isaac. Based on the timeline, Isaac is somewhere between childhood and 30-something. He could well be a young adult. And do not underestimate the sinking weight in the heart of a father looking at his son and knowing he could lose him. Or could he lose him? God said that Isaac will have offspring. Hebrews offers a little insight into Abraham's thinking here. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. So they kept going. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. The place is called Moriah. It's a mountain ridge that goes through what would later be Jerusalem. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Now watch his words there. "We will come back to you." Somehow, Abraham has faith that his son will return. Verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Remember that phrase, it will come back. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Don't miss that last phrase, instead of his son. So the Lord stopped him, and the Lord provided. And in verse 14, Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. In Hebrew, Jehovah Jireh. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Interesting, the saying was, it will be provided on the mountain of the Lord. What mountain? That question is the key to understanding all of this. That mountain they're on is Moriah. Later, Jerusalem would be built there, and God's temple. And just outside that town, a mount called Golgotha, or Calvary. 2 millennia later, on that very same mount, one of Isaac's own descendants, a rabbi named Jesus, would hang on a Roman cross. Jehovah Jireh, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And all of this story, from beginning to end, is a striking foreshadowing of that event. This story is jarring. It should be. God did not want Abraham to sacrifice the life of his own child. But he does want us to grapple with the reality and the heartbreak of what it took for him to sacrifice his son. Walk back through the story. Take your son, your only son, whom you love. Jesus is the only Son of God. The voice of the Father declared at Jesus' baptism, "This is my Son, whom I love." Isaac bore the wood on his back, just as Jesus bore the wooden cross to the same mount. And remember, when Isaac asked about a lamb, and Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb." That word was prophetic. God would provide the lamb, and it would be God himself. And I wonder what it was like for God the Father to watch Abraham go through this, knowing that Abraham would not have to follow through, but he would. And what about Jesus? He saw it too. In fact, the angel of the Lord who stopped Abraham, do you remember who that is? That's the Lord himself. I'm convinced that's Jesus. What was it like for him, knowing this would be the same mountain? And did you notice that Abraham looked up and saw a ram? But a ram is not quite the same as a lamb. So that ram was not the promised lamb. That's why it was said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. And so it was. And just as the ram was sacrificed instead of his son, so Jesus was sacrificed instead of you, instead of me. He took our place. He paid the price for our sin, so we could be forgiven, so we could live. In verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." And so the Lord renews his covenant with Abraham. And notice, through your offspring, the word there is singular, while Abraham's descendants are a blessing to the world. I believe the Lord is referring to one particular descendant, the Word become flesh, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one and only Jesus.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.